Thessalonians, he says, quench not the spirit. Amen. Somebody of us come to church, we quench the spirit. Amen. Somebody said, let go and
let God.
Let go and what?
Let God.
Amen. Let the redeemed. Anybody been redeemed?
Amen.
You see anybody been redeemed? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands
of the enemy.
I once was lost. Hallelujah. But now, was blind, now I see. Thank God for his amazing grace. Amen. We just bless the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand at this time. Amen. Thank God for my wife, for the ministry, the elders, the deacons, the praise team. Amen. Everyone in their respective places. Amen. Without the saints, there's no church.
Right.
So we just thank God for everyone that's here. We truly bless the Lord. Amen.
Bless you,
Lord. What he's doing, amen. Every day I live, I just look to see more of God.
Yes.
Amen. I feel like John the Baptist, amen. Yes. Yes. When he was writing about Jesus, he said, it's time for me to decrease that he might
increase.
Every day I said, Lord, I want to decrease. Because I want to see you increase. You know, that's how you know when you have the right mind and the right spirit. Mm-hmm. When you desire to decrease. So that God may increase. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. We thank God for what he's doing. Amen. We're going to have our scripture reading. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 14. Amen. And I'm going to skip around to several verses. And then we'll go to Mark and then to Hebrews at the end. But at this time, I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Then we go down to verses 17 and 18. And we'll conclude with verses 22 and 23. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Come on, can we say amen?
Amen.
I hope y'all ain't shouted out on me, man.
No, sir.
Y'all ain't shouted out?
No, sir.
Sister Monique, you ain't shouted. Got you saved some?
She got a lot. She got a lot.
El Tanzo, you saved a little bit?
He's all right, too.
I have some.
Tank is full.
I wish somebody's soul would do what? Catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul this afternoon will catch on fire. Hey, you gotta, you know, all y'all cute folks in church. I ain't talking about cute on the outside. I'm talking about somebody too cute to want to move for Jesus.
Oh, no.
All that pretty stuff you can save before another time.
That's right.
Amen. You gotta let it down and let it go for God. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
I know my God's been too good. Verse 7 reads, for none of us, Romans 14, 7. All right. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord. And whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die,
we are the Lord.
We are
the Lord.
The Lord. Verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in. Who's looking at my notes to talk about all this Holy Ghost today?
Come on.
Amen. Elton, so you look at my Bible when I left? Did you pick up Mother Barbara? You look at my Bible? You didn't look at it? All right. Somebody was looking at all this Holy Ghost we talking about. Right. Amen. So he said that what? Righteousness,
peace, joy.
And joy
in the Holy Ghost.
If you got the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to have some righteousness. You're supposed to have some peace.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to have some.
Joy.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you might not have that, but that comes with it.
All right.
Amen. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to search for it. But somebody saying is in there. Amen. And then what did you say, Mackie?
It's in there.
It's in there. So when you got the Holy Ghost, it's in there. Get there. Verse 18 reads, "For he that in these things serves Christ is
acceptable to God
and approved
of man."
You want to be acceptable to God and approved of man, you got to have some righteousness. Mm-hmm. You got to have some peace. You got to have joy. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Verse 22 reads, "Has thou faith, have it to thyself." Hallelujah. I'm so glad my faith don't have to be before anybody but God. If thou have faith, amen, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of
faith.
Your faith is supposed to be to who? God. If you're going to do anything, do it in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith, Lord, we bless you on this afternoon. And we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you that you already stopped by. But at this time, Lord, we ask you to impart the word of God unto us. And we acknowledge that without you, we can't do nothing. Lord, but we know they that know their God shall be strong. And then they shall do exploit. Lord, our hearts desire this afternoon to speak, for thy servant heareth. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking a lot about faith lately. Amen. Faith. What is faith? What is faith? What is your faith? Amen. How does God see you? And what kind of faith do you represent for God? He says in verse 22, it says, "Hast thou faith, have it to thyself
for God."
Before God. Faith today can't be whatever anybody else thinks. Your faith has to be before God. And it says, "Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed, and he that doubteth is damned." You cannot. Now, they're dealing with the Judaic law, the ceremonial law about eating and different things, but the application works. You cannot come to God in faith, in doubt, because he says, damned. And whatsoever is not of faith is
sin.
So anytime we approach what it really, this actually could be interpreted as God will not lead you to sin if you're walking in faith.
Mm-hmm.
God will never lead you to sin if you're walking in faith. But if you're walking in the flesh, you will sin because you're not in faith. So not to sin, I got to stay in. Can we stay in faith? Amen.
In faith.
Let's go to Hebrews. Actually, let's go to Mark chapter 9. Now, on Friday, we went over this from Matthew's account of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, our whole life should be consumed with faith. Our whole life should be consumed with faith. The Bible says about Abraham, how many know that Abraham's the father of faith?
Amen.
And not only is he the father of faith, he is the father of us all. The Bible says, Abraham, being not weak in faith. It's about faith,
yes.
Amen. It's not about anything else. It's all about faith. Being not weak in faith, the scriptures say he considered not his own body. Amen. Now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen. He said he staggered not at the promises of God through
unbelief,
but he was strong in faith. Amen. Today we want to kill the staggering. Unbelief will cause you to stagger. Unbelief will cause you to doubt God. Unbelief will cause you to question the very God of your salvation. So Abraham didn't stagger. Anybody staggering today? Amen. You know what he said? Abraham took an impossible situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not see the situation. He saw the impossible situation, but he also saw the impossible God that able to work it out.
Right.
So he did not stagger because he said, listen, if God, every word of God is true, and Paul writes to the Corinthians, he said, everything in the Bible is yea and
amen.
Amen. So if it's in there, it's true. Don't allow the devil to play games in your mind to doubt, make you doubt God. Amen. Because as you think in your heart, so are you. Amen. As I said, some of the pioneers of the apostolic faith. So you need to learn to think pure. And when you think pure, then you will act
pure.
We need to learn to think holy, then we will act
holy.
We need to think righteous, then we will act
righteous.
We need to think joy, then we act like we got some. Amen. Because joy, peace, and righteousness is in the what?
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. In a, who has the Holy Ghost? You ought to have some joy. You ought to have some peace. And you ought to have some
righteousness.
You know what righteousness? When God sees you, he says, you're well-pleasing in my sight. So your faith has to be to God and God alone. Amen. Your faith, you can't allow someone else to make you rationalize and discount your faith. Amen. Your faith is what you expect from God. Amen. I don't care if the devil in hell come to talk to you. Jesus said, nothing shall withstand. Not even the gates of hell shall prevail. Well, how do you do this? By faith. Once you lose your faith, every dart the devil throws, your shield won't stop it. So you got to have faith, because the only thing that protects us against the fiery darts of the enemy is the shield of faith. We have to have faith. Well, on Friday, we went over Matthew's account of the Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when he came down, he said, because of your unbelief. Now, that unbelief, when he's talking to them, could be better interpreted, little to no faith. And then he makes a comparison concerning the unbelief of the little to no faith. He said, you know what? Your faith is not even the size of a mustard seed. Amen. Your faith is not the size of a mustard seed. That's how small it is. He said, because if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But if you have unbelief, that's leaning so far towards faith that it's not even the size of a mustard seed. How are they today in church? What kind of faith do we have? After all God has done. If you were saved for a day, you already know about God's goodness. Mm-hmm. And you know that God rescued you from the gates of hell. Because if the devil had his way, hallelujah, he would not have let you go. Well, this brings us up to Mark chapter 9 and verse 22. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 22. Now we're talking about what today? Faith. I don't have no topic. You put your own topic on it. Amen. All we need to do, just say faith.
Faith.
Come on, say faith.
Faith.
And you can be guaranteed. Well, I tell you one thing about faith that's not undeniable. The Bible said without faith it is impossible. Please, somebody said, Lord, I feel like a failure. Where's your faith? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Where is your faith? Because without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that, anybody coming to God this afternoon? Anybody need God to do something for you this afternoon? He said, for he that cometh to God must believe. We don't need to go no further. Believe God. And then God will do the rest. So you got to have faith in order to please God. Somebody said, my life is this, my life, where is your faith? It got to be at least the size of a mustard seed. It got to at least be the size of a mustard seed. Amen. You know why being a mustard seed is smaller than everybody got a ballpoint pen or a pencil? Look at the tip. It's smaller than that. He said, if you got that much, you can move mountains.
Jesus.
Amen. Somebody else said, I got some faith to move a whole lot of mountains. Somebody said, I got faith I'm going to go move the Alps. I got faith I'm about to go move the Himalayas. I got some faith I'm about to move the Adirondack Mountains. Amen. I'm not going to move a mountain. I'm going to move a chain of mountains because of my faith.
Right.
That's the type of faith that we should have in church. Mountain moving faith. Well, verse 23 reads, after Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he saw the scribes and those reasoning with his disciples, amen, and he asked them, he said, well, what's the problem? And the young man said, well, I'm just filling in the gaps for the sake of time. He said, well, my son has a demon. He has a spirit. And the spirit is trying to destroy him. Mm-hmm. How many know once you get outside of God, you can be guaranteed one thing? Mm-hmm. That spirit, that devil is going to do one thing, try to destroy you. He said, he casts him into the water, he casts him into the fire, trying to destroy him. Now Jesus already, come on, somebody say he already knew. Come on, he already knew.
He already knew.
So how long has this been on your son? He said, ever since he was a child. So the man goes on, he said, Lord, if you can do anything, how many know God can do anything?
Amen.
Come on, how many know that God can do anything?
Hey,
I'm not going to let you get quiet on me today. Hallelujah, God's so good. I said, I'm not going to let you get quiet on me today. We need faith that God has been too good. He said, Lord, if you can do anything. Can we say anything?
Anything.
How many need God to do anything?
Amen.
Then ask him. He said, Lord, if you can do anything. He said, have compassion on us. And that brings us to verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst
believe.
What's the opposite of belief?
Unbelief.
Amen. So we live in a dual and duplicity world where we can live in either faith or we live outside of faith. We can live in belief and we can live outside of belief. They can exist in the same world, but you make the final decision.
Right.
That's which way you're going to go. It's a dual world. It could be either faith or no faith. It could be godly or ungodly. It could be holy or unholy. You make the choice. He said, if thou canst believe, all things
are possible.
What does all represent?
All.
I'm just curious. Anyway, what does all represent?
All.
Well, if all represent everything, why have you eliminated some things? Amen? If all represents everything, why in your little notebook in the back of your mind you've eliminated some things? Amen. In your private time, why you say, well, God, you can't do this? When he said, if thou can believe, thou can do all things? If all things is all things, then what is eliminated?
Nothing.
The devil plays in our minds to make us doubt God. Because he knows once you doubt God, then you listen to me. And if it's not in faith, then it's sin. So the devil's desire says, you know what? I have to make you doubt God. Because when you doubting God, then I can get the upper hand and I'll get the advantage. So every time God puts something forth by faith, the adversary immediately comes to see what kind of seed you got. Did that seed fall by the wayside? Did the seed fall among thorns? Did the feet seed fall on rocks? Or did it fall on good ground? Now, Jesus doesn't give a just an extemporaneous parable. There's a parable that has a meaning.
Yes.
So when that seed falls, which is the word of God, it has to fall on something.
Yes.
Amen. When it falls on good ground, it stays.
Yes.
How long you been saved? 40 years. I'm catching up to you, ain't there? Yeah, I'm close. Amen. But God is not always a saver, he's a keeper.
Yes, he is.
I say God is not always a saver. But the devil wants to play in your mind to make you doubt God. Because as long as you doubt God, somebody say, you can open the door. Come on, say, open the door.
Open the door.
For
sin.
When you doubt God. When you don't doubt God and you believe God and God's word is true, God will keep the door shut. And not even the very gates of hell will be able to prevail against you.
Right.
Did not Lord tell in the book of Revelation, he said, I got the keys of David. Hallelujah. He said, and because I got the keys of David, he said, I will shut and no man open.
Yes.
Right.
And then I'll open a door that no man can shut. When you walk by faith and you trust God. Do we believe God?
Amen.
So he said, if thou can do anything, he said, if you will believe, you can do anything. Amen. Then the next verse reads, verse 24 said, and straightway the father of the child cried out with and said, see, there's nothing wrong with being honest.
Right.
Don't act like you're a mountain if you're a little molehill. You got to be real.
Right.
The man said, Lord, I believe everything you said, but in the back of my mind, that's a reservation. He said, if you can do it.
He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine. The reason we don't get what we need from God in church, we won't be honest.
He already knows the answer. You can't trick God. You can't fool God.
But the devil, if he has, he wants to do destroy us. The next verse reads,
and when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked. Ah, Lord, thank you. You got a bad spirit, you got some issues, just call on Jesus. They sang the song, the name of Jesus will break what?
Every chain.
Every chain. He said, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee. The problem with us, as I said last week, instead of us speaking to the mountains or the trials or the situation, we keep letting them speak to us. And then they speak to us, then they dictate to us the direction that we're going to take. When the Bible says, ourselves should be ordered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. But we allow our negative situations, our trial, our challenges to dictate to us. Then in the midst of the dictation, we're straddling the fence. Am I saved or am I not saved? Is God with me or is God not with me? If it's not a faith, brothers and sisters, it's sin. God has no place for sin. God died to redeem us from sin. So the devil said, I gotta make them doubt God. Amen. And just read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It talks about all the blessings of obedience. But then it talks about all the curses of disobedience. He said, if you give diligently hearken to all the commandments, he said, you're gonna be blessed. God said, you will be above and not below if we hearken. Amen. He's blessed the dumb, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter. How many will God to get it out? Come on, say, get it out. Don't come back.
Don't come back.
Even now, get it out. Don't let it come back. Amen. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. Now, that devil didn't want to come out. But when Jesus speaks, they have to move, amen? And he was as one that was
dead.
It's so much that they said he is.
Dead.
A lot of us, the devil has come out of us, or those influences are no longer there because God has delivered us. But we've allowed other people to tell us we are dead. We've allowed other people because they didn't understand the working of God in our lives, just like they were with this young man. They say, he is dead. God has brought some of us out of some horrible situations. But other people have spoken something into us that wasn't true. So they looked at him because God had delivered him. Now, how many know every time God delivers us from a situation, when everybody else look at it, they want to make it look like we messed up. God delivered you and brought you out of it. You come to church, you shout, happy and running and glad. Then you let somebody put that foul spirit back on you. Say, you dead. You wasn't dead. Amen. The next verse says, but Jesus took him by the hand and
lifted him up.
If God has lifted you, hallelujah. If God has set you free, don't allow somebody else to put you back in bondage.
Amen.
Because they don't understand how God is working your life. And because they don't understand it, they want to put you back under the curse of that foul spirit when God has set you free. Yeah. Amen. The scripture said, if the Lord has set you free, you are free indeed. For the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
God has set us free. God has delivered us. Now walk in the faith that God has blessed you to have. When you leave church, amen. When you face your challenges, amen. The one father of the faith, I think we put it in the bulletin today. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. He's back in the 19th century. He said, you know what faith does? This is what faith does. When somebody's trying to mess with you, he said, faith smiles and laughs in the face of impossibilities. Faith will smile and laugh
in the face of impossibility. You know why he says that? You don't have no place here. When you walk by faith. But when you don't walk by faith, when you get impossibilities, you don't laugh. You don't have no joy. You don't have no peace. Why? You're not walking by faith. Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. I'm not going to be much longer. Amen. We just want to challenge you to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to challenge you to walk in the full. You know, a lot of us are walking in God, but it's not the fullness of Christ. You know, the Bible talks about walking in the fullness of Christ. Some of us are walking, but we're not walking in the fullness. And we're listening to too many other voices other than the voice of God. Amen. You have to be so real with God and our motto for 2014. What's our motto for 2014?
Right mind.
Our motto for 2014 is what?
Right mind.
If you got the right mind, then not even the devil himself can sway you, because your confidence is in God. Amen. Verse 9 reads, now this is talking about Israel. Right, he's dealing with the Jews concerning them having gotten saved, but leaning the wrong way. God cleansed them. God saved them. God healed them. But the people, that's something you got to watch people. Now, any negative person, anyone that's in your environment, and they're not on God's side, you need to eliminate that environment. Amen. Even nature teaches you that we become a product of our
environment.
Amen. You can be on fire for God, and then you go into some place where it's ice cold. And just like you have whatever your hot beverage is, you put it outside in a little while, it'll do what? Cool off. Even the laws of nature teach us spiritually. We have to protect our environment. Don't allow yourself to get in an environment. I don't care who the friend or the person is. If they can't speak peace in you, you don't need them. My uncle, who's older, much older, he's a preacher. When we go to the house, say, if you can't tell me something about Jesus and faith, don't tell me nothing at all. He said, I'm getting ready to meet my maker. He said, I don't have time for the foolishness. He said, I don't have time for all of that. He said, wait a minute. Watch it, he said, all y'all preachers in here, and I ain't hear nothing about faith in Jesus. I learned something from that.
Right.
Time is too short. He said, if you can't tell me something to get me closer to Jesus, if you can't tell me something to get my mind prepared to meet my maker, don't tell me nothing. That's the same mindset that we need to have. If you're trying to help somebody and they're constantly pulling you down, how you gonna help them if they don't want to listen?
Right.
Amen. That's why Paul said, after the first and second admonition, do what? Leave them alone. You beating yourself to death trying to help somebody that don't want to be helped, leave them alone. Because that's a God case. Let God do it. So we put ourselves in environments that God delivered us out of, because the devil makes us think we are helping someone that's trying to pull us down. If they're not looking to you for help, then the only thing they're looking to do is pull you down. Amen. And then the Bible said, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Amen. I said, well, you know, I was on fire 10 years ago and I remember what happened. I know this is hypothetical because I don't know nobody's real situation. So I ain't talking about you. Somebody said, lesson. I do like they do outside. Lesson is you. All right. I ain't talking about you. Lesson is you. See, something I like to go down south. We got some lessons. Amen. But God delivered you 10 years ago from a situation. How do you let the devil resurrect something God said he put in the sea of forgetfulness? Amen. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, he said, your sins, your iniquities. Listen, your sins, your iniquities, he said, I don't remember them
anymore.
So if it happened and it's back, who brought it? You know it wasn't God. So now we have to try the spirit to see if it's of God or not. Don't listen to that spirit, because it's not God. God said, I forgot. I forgive you and I let it go. So when it's resurrected, who's it coming from? If it's not of faith, then it's of sin. God is not of sin, so who's the author of sin?
The devil.
So don't listen. Don't allow any spirits to come into your holy, godly atmosphere environment and pull you down. Amen. Verse 9 reads, concerning these Judaizers. Amen. It's bad. You think when people, when you're doing good spiritually, people ought to be on your side encouraging you, right?
Yes.
They can say, oh, you wonderful. Keep going. Even in church sometimes, people that should be encouraging you.
Yes, yes.
Even in church, not in here. Come in the mother churches.
Yes.
But lesson is you. You gotta watch those spirits. Because everything in church is not safe and trying to get you to go towards God. Everybody has not had their mind made up yet. Just because they're in church, don't mean they're saved. Amen. So if you in church, I don't care if they've been saved, I'm gonna use myself because I don't know how long anybody else has been saved. But I've been saved 37 going on 38 years. I'm going to use myself for 37 years. If they've been in church 37 years and you're speaking faith of what God can do and they're pulling you down, get away from them. Get away from them. You don't need that. Amen. You don't need anybody to pull you down. You can do that all by yourself. I'm going to get a scripture in 1 minute while I'm still talking. I got to find it exact. I will tell you. I know it's in Proverbs chapter 4. You don't need people to pull you down. You can do bad by yourself. So you have to be able to discern the spirit and the influences. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to come back to Hebrews. I didn't forget it. We're going to come back to Hebrews. I got a new Bible. This Bible is so little. He must have wrote this thing with a magnifying glass. Amen. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read a scripture for you just for your record and for your keeping so you can understand that when the devil comes in, you got to put up a guard against him. Amen. Let's go to verse 14. Verse 14 of Proverbs chapter 4. Amen. Actually, let's go to, well, just take fast hold of instructions. Remember that, right? Just take God's word to be God's word. All right? Let's go to 14. Now, you don't want anything of an ungodly atmosphere in your environment. Because the devil in that atmosphere, that environment, will eventually overtake you as long as you stay there. Amen. So when you get there, don't stay there. Amen. Like I said, you see something wrong, and you know it's wrong, and your spirit discerns it's wrong, why are you still there? Why are you grieving God's spirit? Let me tell you something. This is what the late Bishop G.T. Haywood said. Everywhere you go, you take God's spirit. So what you expose yourself to, you expose God to. Amen? Everywhere you go, if you have the Holy Ghost, you take God's spirit. So what you expose yourself to, you expose God to. You can't say, well, it's all right, it's me. Yes, you can make a difference. It's not about you. What's praise team singing? It's not about me. It's all about
Jesus.
All about Jesus. So where you go, God goes. What you see, God sees. What you do, God does, because he's in us. Verse 14 says, take fast hold of what?
Instruction.
We just need instructions. Lord, show me the way, and I'll follow. Let her not
go.
What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get to God. So if God's going to give me instruction, I'm going to have to take hold of it, and then I'm not going to let it
go.
Not just in church, but when I leave out of church, I gotta hold on to it. For she is
life.
Instruction is in life, yes, because it leads you in the path of righteousness. It says, enter not into the path of
the wicked.
Don't let that be in your path. You have a choice. You do not have to stay there and go not in the way of
evil men.
Now the next verse tells us what we need to do. Amen? It says, if you know it's bad and you know it's not good, you gotta do what? First and what?
Go ahead.
You know.
you know, is wicked, is evil, is ungodly, the first thing you gotta do is what?
Avoid it.
Avoid it. You don't go that way. The scripture says in Proverbs, which we also read, it said, a prudent man foreseeth trouble.
Hideth himself.
And he goes all the way. But the foolish pass on and are destroyed. The prudent, I see the trouble. I know it's trouble. What am I going to go there for? So I must, the first thing I must do when I see it and know it's bad, I have to do what? Avoid it. He said, and then the foreigner said, well, I'm not going to go on this side of the street, I'm going to go on the other side. You know it's not good. So if you know it's trouble, why are you going to even go that way? So you avoid it. Then say, okay, well, since it's on the evil side of the street, I'm going to walk on the other side. He said, Don't even do what? Don't even pass by. That we're trying to take fast hold of instruction so we can be pleasing to God. Amen? So then you don't pass by. He said, and the best way to get away from it is what? I see it, now I gotta do what? Don't even go near it. Why are we putting ourselves in so many positions and conditions when the Word of God tells us what we need to do? You avoid it, right? You don't pass by it. And you turn from it, and what does it say last? You do what?
That's right.
Get away from it as far as you can. We're talking about a what? A wicked, evil, ungodly environment. Now, as a church, what are we doing in that? Amen. No, George, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Y'all get quiet. So let's get back on where the amens were. Amen. Running from you now. I got to chase him. Chasing after you. No kidding. Amen. We need to avoid some things. We need to turn away from some things. We need to not pass some things. We know they're trouble. Why are we there? Verse 9 reads, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works.
40 years.
You know, you say, when somebody sees something for 40 years, the right mindset, he should have what? Learned. Amen. The next verse said, wherefore was I grieved with that
generation
and said,
those err in their heart.
Not known my ways.
They what? Err
in their heart.
And have not known. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Why are we erring in our hearts? If the heart is right, everything else is all right. The heart, the mind will mess up. I don't care how much you work at it, it won't be fixed. So they do always err in their hearts. Amen. Well, why do they err? Because they have not known my ways. They have not taken fast hold of instruction. When we take hold of God's instruction and we allow God to order our steps, and then we walk in the steps. Now the problem is this, it's just like when you're on the surface, they can tell you what to do, but the only way you're gonna stay in cadence and step is you gotta do what they say do. We know, unfortunately in church we do not do. We know what God says, but we do err in our hearts and have not known his ways, amen? So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. This is what unbelief does. We said all that to say, if you have faith to believe in God, do it God's way. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an
evil heart of unbelief.
Evil heart of
unbelief.
So if it's an evil heart, is that from God?
No.
Unbelief is not of God. We must take fast hold of instruction. Let's believe God. Even though it can seem like the whole world is against us, believe God. When David faced the challenger of Goliath, I believe there was almost 1 million men in the army of Israel. How many know there was only one? David did not stand because of Israel. David did not stand because of his family. David did not stand because of King Saul.
The reason David made a stand, he said, you defy the living God. You are defying the living God. He said, wait a minute. I can take a whole lot of things, but I can't take anything that's going to defy my God. So David made a stand, not because of Israel, not because of the king, not because of his father, nor his brother, nor the rest of the men, but he made a stand for God. How many of us today are willing to stand for God? Or will we depart with an evil heart of unbelief? You know what unbelief will cause you to do? Somebody say, what happened to them? It tells you in the latter part of the fact they would do what? Depart from the living God. So if you depart from the living God, you're going to another God. What is it from? Unbelief as we stand. We need to trust God to the end. God is faithful to the end. Take fast hold of instructions. If it's wrong, if it's ungodly, and now let me explain something to you about the Holy Ghost as the elders and ministers and all can come forward. The Holy Ghost is like an alarm. If the throne is wrong, the alarm goes off. If the environment is wrong, the alarm goes off. Now you have to heed the alarm. Either you're going to respond promptly to the alarm, or you're not going to respond. The Holy Ghost is the alarm. You have to respond to the alarm. Wrong environment, God will only let you know. Because God watches for us. God protects us. God keeps us. So when it's wrong, the Holy Ghost will always let you know. You have to make a decision as the Holy Ghost lets you know. No. What are you going to do with that alarm? Amen. Whenever you, if you're in a building and the fire alarm goes off, what do? Amen. If the fire alarm goes off and you're in a building, you what? Get out. How do we have enough presence of mind to respond to a natural alarm? So speak. To stay in a burning building with our spiritual alarm. That's not God. So, let's say avoid it. Come on, say avoid it.